relationship with the Lord. He knows sin is damaging this relationship. And this unexplained situation, whether it was outright sin or whether it was lazy negligence or whatever it could be, has severed the close bonds that he had with the Lord. And it has brought on grief and the threat of greater punishment for God. Sometimes we desire God's chastisement to be toned down. The Bible talks about that in other passages, where even in the Psalms, Jeremiah writes about it as well. Looking for just, Lord, I know that I deserve 10, but give me just one. That sort of a request. If you want God to tone down the chastisement. But in verses 1 through 3, David seems to petition the Lord to remove the thing altogether. This type of request is not because David thinks he doesn't deserve punishment. It's because he has experienced it already and is truly repentant. He's not trying to escape the purpose of God's actions against his sin. He has learned his lesson, and now he will move forward. He feels as if God's judgment is beginning to take on divine rage. And so he asks God, will you please be gracious and halt? Will you stop all of this? Not commanding, he's asking. In verses 1 through 3, specifically here in verse 1, the words rebuke and chasten. These are words that normally are associated with parental discipline. The purpose of parental discipline is correct. Right, a godly, a loving, a righteous parent is not going to try to harm his child. He's going to see his child doing wrong, and he's going to have to act to respond to that wrong. And the whole idea is for the parent to say no to the child and show, this is not good. And sometimes it's just a word or a look. Sometimes it's 10 years in your bedroom. But whatever it is, there is something there that the parent is doing, if he's righteous, to work on the child, to get him to see so that he will be right, and then he clears things up. Our Heavenly Father always does it right. I don't, you don't, God does. The corrective process may have made its impact. And it may be sincere repentance and understanding. So how bad was the state that David was in? In verses 2 and 3, end of verse 2 and verse 3, he says, I am weak. Kill me. My bones are vexed and troubled. My soul is also sore troubled. But you, O God, but then a question. How long? There's a serious set of circumstances. He is weak and his bones are vexed. The weakness indicates his physical or emotional languished condition. He feels emotionally withered. Right? And then being vexed or troubled indicates physical suffering in which he has experienced such distress that his whole body seems to be troubled. His bones. Physically as well. So verse 3 repeats this dreadful state by saying that his entire being is terrified. And he asks the Lord, how long? That's a stunted question. It's not even a full question that you would expect. And he's probably asking, how long will you allow this to continue? But when you're in that sort of strait, you're not even going to give full sentences. You're just going to, Lord, help. Or, Lord, how long? That's where he was. Whatever troubles he faced from his enemies were troubles that even the Lord, his mind, seemed to know. It was David opens up his petition, his life has been under such stress that he is unable to praise the Lord. And a believer's life is supposed to be one of praise, but trouble can put such pressure on us that you and I may force ourselves to come to church and even force ourselves to, quote unquote, sing when everybody else is singing with our whole being, encouraging one another about this great hymn, and you're singing words, but it's not coming from the heart. You know you're supposed to just go through the motions. That's not a good place to be. You're supposed to be praising God. David's not using the fact that divine praise is used in escaping judgment. He lives to praise the Lord, and he's truly desirous of doing this, and he can't do this in his current state. So what does he want? He wants to be able to get right with God. The first part includes these words in verse 4. Return, deliver, and save. These three words show the desire to be reinstated in God's good pleasure. He looks for immediate rescue. He bases the deliverance on two points: God's mercy and man's praise. First, God's mercy's sake. Here he looks to God's covenant faithfulness. That's what he's referencing here in verse 4. If God did not recover the saint, then the covenant would be broken. And God does not break his covenant. So where else can David go to request relief? He knows that there is nothing else that will suffice. He also knows that there is nothing else greater or more sufficient than his relationship with the Lord. So first in verse 2, he wanted God's grace, his mercy on his life. Now in verse 4, he's saying, I want to remind you, Lord, of our relationship. You and I have a covenant relationship. I'm your child. Can a believer plead for relief? Turn back, if you will, to Exodus chapter 34. says, should I even bring it up? I don't want to point it out, and yet I've got to at least say something. That's the reluctance. That's what we're talking about here. Then he says abundant or abounding in goodness and truth or in love and faithfulness, having an unlimited desire to provide for his family and fully committed to keeping his covenant with us. The words keeping mercy or maintaining love tells us that he guards and keeps together his covenant. God is the one that holds it together. You break it all the time. God won't let it be broken. And then he is forgiving. He's one to lift the burden off of you. So we go back to Psalm 6 and we say, is this even possible? David was